In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Fathers, dear sisters, dear faithful, on this second Sunday of Epiphany, it is customary for the priest to speak about the sacrament of matrimony because of the gospel that we have for this Mass. But today I want to speak to you about a different type of union. It's also a marriage, but a spiritual marriage. It is the marriage of a woman with our Lord Jesus Christ, when a woman becomes a spouse of Christ. We have this incredible blessing here at St. Isidore's, where the sisters want to build a novitiate here. And precisely what happens at a novitiate is that a young woman is prepared to become a spouse of Christ. There are effectively three stages in this process. The first stage is the postulancy. This is when the young woman enters the convent, and she spends a short period of time, like 6 months or so, adjusting to the convent life. She starts to learn the routine of the convent. And after this period of postulancy, she begins the second stage of her preparation to become a spouse of Christ by entering the novitiate. And this novitiate begins with a special ceremony where she receives the habit of the order. She takes on the habit, and she's only typically distinguished by the veil that she's wearing. The veil is typically of a different color to indicate that she is a novice. She is in training to become a spouse of Christ. And then she spends a period of 2 years being formed by the mistress of novices. She tries on the three vows of religion. She starts to practice the life of a nun. She receives the direction of the mistress of novices. And after the 2 years are up, then we have the third stage, which is the first taking of vows, the first time that she pronounces three vows of religion, the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. She binds herself to the vow of poverty, where she only uses material goods under the direction of her superior, to the vow of chastity, whereby she binds herself to only seek one love, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and no earthly love, and then the vow of obedience, whereby she binds herself to follow the will of her superior for her. And it's customary when this happens that she receives a ring. She puts a ring on her finger. A ring is put on her finger because it is that moment that she is espoused to Christ, that she becomes a bride of Christ by the profession of these three vows, which bind her to Christ. And after she makes her first vows, then she is ready to receive her first assignment. She is given some location, some convent that she will go to, some place in the world to begin her apostolate as a nun. This special way of life, this beautiful way of life, is a treasure of the Catholic Church. It is a treasure that the Catholic Church has practiced for the past 2,000 years. Over the course of these two millennia, there have been literally millions of women living this life. It is an incredible example to the world, and it is an incredible proof of the divinity of the Catholic Church. No institution could possibly inspire and make possible the living of this life by so many women, this supernatural life, unless that institution were from God. This is what we call the mark of holiness of the Church, where you have people living a life of poverty, chastity, and obedience, a truly holy life, a perfect life, what the Church refers to as the state of perfection. And this happening not just once or twice, it is sort of a random occurrence, a rare occurrence, but as the normal life of the Church, that you have all of these women giving themselves over to the life of a spouse of Christ. This is a great supernatural miracle, a great proof of the divinity of the church. But as well, this way of life is a great gift to the world because the nun is a very special kind of woman, precisely because she is a bride of Christ. Living that supernatural life, she possesses a special kind of love. Having this love that pertains to the brides of Christ, she is then able to communicate that particular type of love that no one else has in that particular way to the world. And our poor world, our fallen world, is desperately in need of this love. The nuns that have existed throughout the history of the church have communicated so much supernatural love to this world. And it's as if that love is dried up. The supernatural capital of the church is dried up. In the past 60 years, there's been a terrible decline in the number of nuns in the church. We know that there's a crisis in the church, and whenever there's a crisis in the church, there's also going to be a crisis in vocations, because it takes a strength. It takes a great supernatural strength in the church for young people to be motivated to pursue a vocation. So we have these terrible statistics that in 1970, there were around 1 million nuns in the world. And then 5 years ago, 2020, I guess 6 years ago now, there were 630,000, a decrease of 35%. But here in the United States, the situation is much more grave. In 1970, there were 160,000 nuns in the United States of America. 2020, 36,000 nuns, a decrease of 78%. Such we may say that in the United States, the nuns are becoming an endangered species. Meanwhile, as I say, the world has so much need of these nuns. Think about how many people, because of the decline of nuns, do not have contact with this special type of woman, living this special type of life in the schools, in the orphanages, in the parishes. And how much the world misses out by not having this contact with these consecrated souls. Meanwhile, these sisters, these consoling sisters, they have the opposite problem. They're not shrinking, but they're growing. They're growing at an exponential rate. They just have one novitiate in the world, but that novitiate is beyond full. And there are many American girls among the nuns of many different nations who are there. And they have the need to have a house of formation in the United States of America, a building precisely where this special formation will take place, where young women will be prepared to become spouses of Christ. And so continue for our generation this way of life that was taught to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we ask ourselves, where does this life come from? Who got the idea? Whose idea was it to live a life of poverty, chastity, and obedience? Who is that brilliant person who came up with this idea? The idea comes from God himself. It comes from our Lord. It's in the gospel. It's the call of our Lord in the gospel to live this life of the three vows. We get this from our Lord himself. This is the origin of this way of life. And it must continue. We must want this beautiful life to continue. This is what the sisters are doing by forming young ladies to become spouses of Christ. And I think it's very important for all of us to understand in this time of great confusion about gender that this is a life specifically for women. It's a role for women in our church that only women can fulfill. You know that the priest is another Christ. He is a representative of Christ for the faithful. Christ is a man. And so only men can be priests. You have all these confused women today saying, I want to be a priest. Why can't I be a priest? This is not fair. It's because the priest is another Christ, and Christ is a man. It's the way our Lord has designed the supernatural order. And on the other side of the coin, the nun is a bride of Christ. She is the spouse of Christ. And only a woman can be a bride. A man cannot be a bride. So this is a role specifically for a woman. In other words, it's only a woman who can give to Christ the love that pertains to a bride, that pertains to a wife, this special kind of love. Only she can do that. And just as it doesn't make any sense for a woman to say, I want to be a priest, so too it doesn't make any sense for a man to say, I want to be a nun. Because it's impossible. It can't take place. This is the special vocation of the nun, to give to Christ that particular love that a woman has for a husband. Only this husband is the Son of God himself. This is summarized in the motto of the Consoling Sisters. The motto is, Heart of Jesus, to love thee and to make thee loved. And at the beginning of their statutes, it says that they are to be sanctified by a total submission to our Lord Jesus Christ, their spouse. And it is a fact, simply by the design of God, the way he has created us, the way he has created us, and it are our distinct sexes of man and woman, that women have a greater capacity for love. And by that I mean women have a greater capacity to give themselves to a person than men do. They have a greater strength, desire for this type of union. I take an example from the life of Saint Catherine of Siena. One of her many biographers says the following about her. Catherine loved Jesus with all the passion of which a woman is capable, unto the total gift of herself. A man can love Jesus as an older brother, as a very dear friend, as a dearly loved father, whom one would not disobey for the world. But a woman loves Jesus as her spouse, as him to whom her life is consecrated. Here I am. Take me. I am yours. Do with me whatever pleases you. So what happens in this special way of life, this consecrated life that young women choose, is they decide to concentrate all of their powers of love on the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. They find in him the ideal spouse. Our Lord is able to give, they believe that our Lord is able to give them all that they need and that he desires to be united to them. Only they have to give themselves. They also understand that he desires their beauty. As is said in the Psalms, he wants the beauty of their souls. He wants to purify their souls. He wants to make the life of God, his own life, thrive in their souls. And so he gives them this particular way of life to live so that they may be sanctified, so they may be joined in closer bonds of union with him throughout the course of their life. I hope you see now, my dear faithful, why nuns are so special. It's precisely because they have a special type of love that no one else has in this world. They have this special love of our Lord Jesus Christ that is part of the life that they have chosen. It enables them to have this particular love for him. And then we are not surprised when they go out to the world, they have this particular skill of spreading the love of our Lord, of communicating the love of our Lord to the world around them. No matter how sinful, no matter how far sunk it is in materialism or whatever, the nuns radiate this love of Christ. They spread this love of Christ. They communicate it. Souls are converted. They are changed. So, my dear faithful, we must give a very great thanks to God that, God willing, next year we will have this great work of the formation of spouses of Christ taking place right here. We must pray for the great success of this supernatural project. We really want this work to be blessed by God and to thrive. We want to give to this poor, fallen world many more spouses of Christ for the sanctification of the world, for salvation of the world. And dear sisters, we want so much to be fulfilled in you and those you form, those words that are quoted in your statutes, those beautiful words of St. Margaret Mary. The heart of Jesus wants to be the love of your heart so that you make it known, honored, and glorified by all the souls that you come in contact with. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.